Good afternoon, everybody, and welcome to the Grassroots Sport and Business Show here on Spectrum On Air. With me, Dave Johnson-Rayner from Koi Sports, and of course, John Woodcock from Voluntary Action Leicester. Good afternoon, John.
Good afternoon, sir. How are you?
Yes, I'm all right. Thank you very much. I'm all right.
Good man. It feels weird not being in your presence when we're recording this.
It really must be.
We did that the other week, and it was glorious.
Yeah, we enjoyed it, didn't we?
Yeah, we did, and then we had technical difficulties with the next bit.
Which was interesting because everything went like clockwork, didn't it, on the regular show?
It went like clockwork, and then old Johnny had to go on mute for a few minutes because he was talking to Mel from Jordan Sinnott Foundation. I genuinely did think I was going to end up roaring.
I did, honestly.
It was brilliant. It was such a great chat for such a great sort of organisation. And that went brilliantly. And then we had the legend himself, Richie Weston, in the house. From Sporting Denver.
We flew him in
literally into Newark that day. No, a couple of days before. And we were talking to the BC.
Yeah. Brianna.
Absolutely. Okay. And so she had a great chat with Mary Thomas, and I think we got like 2 minutes.
Yeah. Well, it was supposed to be the other way around, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Just for people who don't know who Rich Weston is, he runs Sporting Denver. He's also an elite core sports elite champion. But of course, he's working with us to do what we do, or at least find opportunities for us to do what we do, core sports over in Denver. So,
well, then, and the next leap for you and Koi ultimately is world domination, obviously. But working with the likes of Rich Weston, and hopefully with Brianna as well, a little bit more at the Heartfelt Club, and sort of doing more work over in the United States. And I know that's one of, you know, it's a big tick in a box for you and Koi, as well as continuing the great work that we're doing in Europe, and also into Africa as well, and further and beyond. And I think I know I sent you a message the other day going, I genuinely don't know how you actually fit all this into your working day, as well as the hands-on work that you're doing through Generation Youth, with the projects that you're doing with the SEN students. And I just, honestly, I do take my hat off, my friend. I thought I was busy, but I just sit behind a desk and move a mouse around a little bit and talk to people. You actually are, not only are you looking at the growth element of Koi Sports, but hands-on project as well.
Yeah.
Project management as well. Phenomenal, mate. Really good.
Thank you, mate. Thank you. And I'm loving this Dave Johnson-Rayner, loving.
It can continue. We'll just do a whole show devoted to Dave Johnson-Rayner one day.
Oh, yeah. That'll plummet your listening figures, won't it? Never mind. Never mind. Anyway, 2 weeks have passed. John, what's been happening with you in the last 2 weeks? Anything exciting to report?
I think we had Boris do his little thing the other night, didn't we? Everyone's going to get a booster jab before the end of the year. And as soon as he said those words, I was kind of like going, because the amount of work that Val does with the vaccination centres in Leicester and Leicestershire, so obviously, you know, it's going to be a little bit busy. And I know how busy the rest of the team are going to be with regards to sort of organising that. And I think that the people that are stepping up to volunteer, continuously volunteer, within these vaccination centres is absolutely fantastic. Very much needed, especially now we're going to have all these jabs done before the end of the year. But I just think that, you know, it's a huge, phenomenally huge task. So there's that bit, and I'm just continuing to sort of, you know, develop myself personally so that I can impart what I learn to those amazing and charities and non-profits that we get to work with on a daily basis.
I mean, it's amazing, isn't it? I mean, we spoke on a previous show about the importance of volunteers and the whole vaccination process.
Yeah.
I personally am a little bit fed up of having holes put in me. How many holes do you want to put in Dave Johnson Rayner? It's like, I'm scared to have a drink these days, but it's so important, isn't it? Those people that volunteer their time.
I think so. Absolutely. I think that we've touched on this on a number of things, on a number of shows before, and I know that we've talked about it a lot. You know, if there wasn't any volunteers, I think society would grind to a halt. I think that it's just, you know, not just in the UK, as in globally, if there weren't those amazing people that did volunteered a lot of their time, and blood, sweat and tears in some instances, there'd be huge, huge, massive problems all over the place. And I did my little bit. I mean, I volunteered my time to you at Koi Sports. I'm going to go out and deliver presents on behalf of Memphis next week, which I'm looking forward to, because I'll have my champion little helper, chief executive, roadmap entrepreneur, young man, Liam. He gets a kick, you know, he loves being able to deliver those presents as well. So, you know, he did ask last year when we did it, he was like, well, surely Santa should deliver these. And I was like, you know, we're helping.
Yeah, your Santa's little helper, Liam.
I enjoy the little bits that I'm able to give back. And I think that for me, it's the ability to give back. It makes me feel better in myself.
Yeah, well, there's nothing wrong in that. And I think it comes with, and I might be wrong here, experience. So I think as you get older, you appreciate that feeling of being able to give back.
I don't know about you, Dave. I'm only 22, so...
You've had a hard life then.
A very hard paper round.
But of course, there's so many young, in inverted commas, social activists coming through now, which I think is great. I think that's probably a big thank you to their direct generation before them, if you understand, kind of it, bringing that and instilling that in their children's behaviour and that caring about the world, we want to be cuddly.
I think today's society has got a good mix now. You look at how many young individuals are coming into the workforce. they've only ever known technology from the day they were born through to, you know, how old they are now. They use that technology much better than I or yourself. But on the flip side to that, they use it for a greater good. That, you know, they give back quickly. You know, they, you know, it's not just all about money, it's experience and stuff like that. And there's a, you know, my eldest is about to be 14 on Friday, and he's far more experienced and far more intelligent and knowledgeable at that age than I was at 14. But taking that on board and moving forward, when you're coming into the workforce, you know, they're going into sort of, they get that fork in the road. They're either going to branch out and go on their own and become true entrepreneurs.
Yep.
Or if they're going to go into the world of employment, the questions that these young individuals are asking of employees are, you know, what do you do to give back to your local community? What do you do to give back to? And they're actually interviewing these prospective employers on, you know, yeah, I want a job, and yeah, I'd like to get paid, and yeah, what are my prospects? But what else are you doing for the environment? What are you doing for, you know, the local community? What are you doing for, you know, grassroots sports? What are you doing? And that is probably opening the eyes to a lot of small to medium sized and even larger businesses now, where they're going, if we want to bring these talented people in, we've got to be in a position where we are actually giving back for a greater good, and what that looks like, and actually having processes in place. It's not going to be everybody, but it will take some time to get that moving. But the fact that it is happening, and I hear about it and I see it, it'll be like a snowball effect. And I'm hoping that in 5-10 years' time, it's just the norm.
Wouldn't that be nice?
Be beautiful, mate.
Oh, I'm suggesting. And I think, you know, listening to you talk about that, there is a link in there somewhere, because I'll always find one to today's guest. I think that next generation coming through, but also people coming through, not just a particular type of person, I think opportunities are out there for people across the globe, thanks to organisations like the one that our guest today works for. I think they help to promote that. And if young people start to come through, build businesses, no matter what their sex, colour, creed, orientation, etc., if they're bringing that ethos through with them, i.e., if they were going for an employed role, they'd be asking, what do you as a business do to give that? If they're taking that into being business owners, then more and more of it will happen. And I think that's what you referred to, a snowball effect. I think we will see that, and I think that's really important, and I think it's really positive as well.
No, I agree. And I think that, you know, the more entrepreneurial, you know, individuals that come through, the better, as far as I'm concerned, because they think differently. They are different, you know. You're not in that box. This is how you have to be when you're employed. No, it's not.
Absolutely not.
Okay. Why are you doing that? One of the reasons, the question for me, and I ask it a lot, is why? Why do we do this? Why do we do that? It gets me into a bit of trouble from time to time, because it does sound like I'm a repetitive 3-year-old. But
it's that awkward question, because if your employer isn't doing what that's the end, and they haven't got an answer for why.
Yeah. I've always been that way. I'm just inquisitive. And that for me is sort of like, well, it's how you ought to be. You know, everything's not, it's not just, you know, you're not going to be stuck on the train tracks forever. You know, you've got to come off at some point, you know. And I think the key thing is, you know, I'm looking forward to talking to our guest. I really, really am. I think there's going to be some really good stories in here as well. All about entrepreneurship as well.
I'd like to set this up, actually, and I've not spoken to Desiree about this.
This could be interesting.
But I had a conversation through a referral from George, a Sawyer George at Football Without Borders Kenya, who referred me on to a chap called Richie Bayo. I think it's Ricky Bayo. And he runs the Sky Rich project out in Sierra Leone. So he does a similar thing to George. But what completely took me aback, and I've not seen this happen in the UK, that's not to say it's not happening, but he has formed a football team of prostitutes to get them off the streets of Sierra Leone, playing football, teaching them how to build sustainable lives through sustainable living, agriculture, etc. What a fantastic initiative that is. Oh, my God. I thought how often you say, I'm blown away.
Yeah, I
was blown away. I mean, what a fantastic idea! What a fantastic thing to do.
It's so simple, though, as well, isn't it? I mean, you know, me and you being in the UK kind of take things for granted a little bit. So, but, you know, taking these young ladies, and giving them something to be creative about, and giving them some form of direction and something for them to be passionate about, football. You know, or whatever sport it may well be, could be table tennis. Doesn't matter, does it really? As long as there's something for them to develop and be involved in. I think it's such a simple tactic, and I think that the more that me and you have these conversations with people, the more my eyes get opened. And I go back to the stuff that, you know, when we originally had, I think Naki was our first guest, wasn't she?
I think you're right, yes.
And I know it's slightly different where she's working with school kids and stuff like that, but it's the engagement process, and she's working in, but the engagement process for them is chess and boxing and football. Mm. It's still sports.
Yeah.
And I think, you know, for me, yes, I enjoy my sports and most sports. It's a way of engaging somebody and taking them away from, you know, whatever that is, and getting them to be involved in some form of sports activity takes them away from, you know, what is their day-to-day life, even if it's just for an hour or 2 hours.
Yeah. I just want to say, I mean, I'm all for freedom of choice, and if that's what somebody chooses to be, then whatever that is, that's absolutely fine. However, I think in a war-torn country, and set this up back in 2010, maybe.
Wow.
Something that the Sierra Leone FA implemented with regards to engaging people in healthy pastimes. And I think they made a donation as well to help that happen. And it was born out of that. And I think that shows for a challenge, a country that is challenged in more ways than one.
Time for Dave to wake up.
So sorry. I think that's amazing. I think what's happened there is just, again, an example of the power of sport. Anyway, enough banging on that. That alarm means that the commercial break's coming up. It's supposed to vibrate, not shout at me like that. Anyway, never mind.
That's where Dave does his dancing.
Absolutely. Time to dance during the commercial break. But yes, our guest for the rest of the show is Desiree Jules Adam. She does many things. She's an incredible lady. But the African Women's Entrepreneurial Cooperation, or cooperative, should I say, is a fascinating organisation in 52 countries across Africa. But I'm going to let Desiree talk about that because she'll do that a lot better than I do. But we're going to go to a commercial break now. When we come back, we'll be joined by Desiree Jules Adam. Can't wait to speak to you very soon. Good afternoon and welcome back to the Grassroots Sport Business Show here on Spectrum On Air with myself, Dave Johnson, Rainer from Poi Sports, John Woodcock from Val, and today's very special guest who has sat where I'm sitting when it comes to broadcasting, which makes me extremely nervous. I don't pretend to be Desiree Jules Adam, who is our guest today from the African Women's Entrepreneur Cooperative. Desiree, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Dave. Thank you so much for having me. Good afternoon, John. It's lovely to
be
here.
Good afternoon.
We're chuffed that you come to join us and enlighten our audience as to who you are and what it is you do. We're all about being able to have a platform for raising awareness of the great stuff that's going on out there. And I think it's fair to say, John, that Desiree and the organisations that she works for are exactly that. So I think rather than rabbiting on, I think it would be great, Desiree, if you could give us an overview and some detail about who you are and what you do, Desiree. So the floor is yours.
Absolutely. Thank you for the opportunity and hello to your guests as well. My name is Desiree Jules Adam, as you heard, and I currently work as the Deputy Director for the African Women's Entrepreneurship Cooperative, or AWEC for short. Or if you're from Africa, you'd say AWEC. So it depends on where you are in the globe. But AWEC indeed stands for Working with Women in Africa. And I'll start to give a little bit of context. So women in Africa start businesses faster than anywhere else in the world. This is a known fact through IMF and the World Bank. Their statistics show that. And in most countries, these women represent 30% of the formally registered businesses. So they take a big chunk of the economy, or should I say women are running the economy.
Yeah, absolutely.
But taking this into account, I can comfortably say that development around the continent without them does not make economic sense. They are fundamental key drivers to sustainable economy within the continent of Africa. So it's important to support them. But I will say that the biggest challenges that these women face is the lack of platforms that provide them the adequate capacity building or the knowledge or the technical assistance to kind of grow their businesses. So as a result, they fail 99% of the time. Now, I know this is a global statistic around businesses, but in Africa, it's more prominent because SMEs make up 60% of the continent's economic growth, right? And so there's a huge problem. Along with those challenges, they also have lack of access to capital, to funding, which is a problem if they want to scale or if they want to grow or if they want to employ more people. And so this is where the African Women Entrepreneurship comes in. I think I would say that we address the biggest problem or the biggest challenges that we try to solve is to give them access to a leadership or a business management training that will allow them to build sustainable and resilient businesses. And those two words are very, very important, particularly in the times that we're in. We know that across the globe, even huge companies had the impact of COVID. So can you imagine if you're a small enterprise and you employ maybe one or two people, what would have happened to them? So, I mean, the job of AWEC is to come in and fill the gap where we want to give access to the knowledge that these women need. And we address this through three ways. First, our program that we, you know, it's a 12-month program that we give. We give out 200 scholarships every year. We usually get 2,000 or 2,000 plus applications that come through. And unfortunately, we only have enough funding to, you know, to look after 200 women every year. If we had more, we'd definitely want to impact more women. But our program goes beyond the theoretical. So teaching them more than just what the books say, because these are women who are already operating in their businesses. We want to ensure that the knowledge that we empower them with is applied to their businesses. The second challenge that we try to address is giving them a support network that gets it. There's value in a peer network of women entrepreneurs across Africa that just understand the issues that you might be facing or the challenges that you might be facing. Granted, different countries, different cultures, but oftentimes when it comes to business, they usually share similarities when it comes to challenges. And then what I would say is the new challenge, maybe making the time to actually focus on the business while at the same time running the business and dealing with personal life, which is huge for us today. And so these are the things, I'll dig into them more a little bit later, but that's just an overview of what we do.
If there's more, blimey, that's a busy organisation. That's fantastic. I mean, John, I've had a couple of conversations with Desiree. What strikes you immediately from what you
think? Everything, if I'm being honest. I know that's just an overview. It's like you just said, Dave, it's sort of like, well, if that's just an overview, wow. I think that in society today, there's so many people that want to sort of break out, strike out and do their own thing because they've got a passion or a vision, or they don't want to sit, you know, in a cubicle anymore or put in a box anymore. They want to go out and do their own thing. And it's probably as difficult globally as it is sort of, you know, within Africa. Probably even harder if you're a woman, yeah, trying to strike out on your own as well. Mm-hmm. You know, and you're looking at sort of going, right, okay, so I know what I want to do, then I've got to plan it, and I've got to build it, and I've got to market it, and I've got all of that and develop it, and you know, I need some money to start it. All of these different components, it's tough, isn't it? And this is where you come in, and you'll say, I wrote this down, so please do correct me if I'm wrong. You've got 200 scholarships, but you're having around about 2,000 applications.
So last year, in the last cohort, so we're in cohort 4 at the moment, mm-hmm, and that started in May, we had 2,600 applicants.
Wow. That's amazing.
Yeah.
That's great. Isn't it? It's great the fact that there are that many businesses out there who understand the importance of support, yes, but who have set up businesses.
Yeah.
And I think it's even better that it comes from women. I mean, I'm a great believer in united we stand, divided we fall. So I think if we all got together and moved forward and forgot our differences, I think that's the best way of doing it. But it's undoubtedly in this country and across the world harder for a young lady, middle-aged lady, an older lady even to start a business. And so the challenge is over in Africa. I mean, you're based here in the UK, Desiree, aren't you?
Yes, I am.
So you'll be familiar with what ladies in the UK face in the way of challenges. What are the challenges that lady entrepreneurs over on the African continent face that maybe are different? Because I would imagine there's some similarities, but the differences would be interesting for me.
So the beauty about where I sit is that I was actually born and raised in Zimbabwe, to a South African mom and a Zimbabwean dad. I grew up there for my formative years, so all the way through to university. And then I moved to the UK for the very reason that I'm about to talk about, access to platforms that are available to people like myself. Now, that's not to say that there are no good programs on the ground. They are. There's just not enough to go around. And then there's different types of programs, right? And not all of them cater for women who are mothers, who have a family to take care of and are trying to juggle the family life and the business life. It's changing now because of technology, but 4 or 5 years ago, women would have to make a decision about maybe leaving the family for a little while to go and do a program in another country. For many years, epicenters like South Africa, Kenya, Nigeria, and Egypt were known for their technical assistance programs or for even their business programs. Very high quality education available, but you had to leave your country to go and study, in those countries. And I'm sorry to say, because of the platform that we're in, but with respect, those programs were geared for men. They were geared for men, okay? And unfortunately, nobody took the time to listen to these women. And this is not to say that there's not been progress, because there has been. And it's because of people like yourself, platforms like these, where we're able to kind of voice out what is going on. Oftentimes, when we speak about the challenges that these women face, some people have no idea that this is what's going on. And so when I speak about an African context, for example, we might assume that it's easy for someone like myself to wake up in the morning and say, I simply have an idea that is about solving the agricultural issues within my community. Or it could be access to electricity, for example. Here in the UK, we sit and we're able to switch the light on and power comes on. Whereas in Africa, I know 600 million people do not have access to electricity. So you've got a mum in the middle of some town somewhere that wants to be able to support her children, read their homework or do their homework when they come from school at night, or she wants to be able to cook for the family. And she's hindered by that, she's incapacitated by that, by something like electricity, which should be available for all. That's just one of the problems. Then you've got challenges with access to water, for example. And we know, as we know, statistics tell us that girls have to be the ones to wake up early in the morning and walk for miles to collect water for the family. In the end, she doesn't go to school because she has to, it's a choice between are we going to drink or are we going to, get education today? And so those are just a small indication of some of the very, this is the tipping point of challenges. But there's also socioeconomic challenges where entrepreneurship has never been seen as a way out for women. Traditionally, women are seen to be the ones to do stuff at home. And so if you're thinking about working for yourself or trying to earn a living for yourself, it's not well known in a lot of in many parts across Africa. And yet we're told that women spend 90% of their income on improving the lives and the livelihoods of their families, making sure that their children get to go to school and that their community is well taken care of. I think it's in Ghana where there's a proverb that says, if you educate a man, you give him good knowledge, but if you educate a woman, you're building a nation. And so it is why it's imperative to make sure that these women get the access they need. And I'm not saying I'm not here to fight the equality challenge, right? I'm here to fight the equity challenge. I'm here to discuss the need for women to get access to opportunities. They don't want to take you out of your places, men. They just want to be able to build themselves as independent entities and do what they need to do. I'm going to revert back to something you guys discussed about young people and entrepreneurship. I think the narrative is changing now. It used to be that you need to educate a man to fish, like teach him to fish and you teach him for a lifetime. It's the narrative has changed according to me. It's now teach him how to own the pond.
Right.
I don't need your rod anymore.
Yeah,
I want to own the pond. So teach me how to do that. And what's beautiful about what AWEP does, I'm going to go back to another proverb that's that we grow up with in Africa. It takes a village to raise a child. But I believe it's not where that proverb should end, because it takes a village to raise an adolescent. It takes a village to raise an adult. It takes a village to raise an entrepreneur and a woman entrepreneur at that. And it also takes a village to raise a community and a nation. And this is what AWEC is trying to do. They're trying to build an ecosystem of women entrepreneurs who can build their nations with the support of everybody, not just women, other men too, from mentors, people who can speak into their lives, give knowledge, experts, and all sorts of things. So I'm championing women entrepreneurship, but I'm also championing the people who can support the ecosystem.
So powerful. We've got a minute left. That's fascinating. And thank goodness for AWEC. It's so important. I mean, in this last minute, John, do you want to just kind of reflect on what you've just heard? That's immense.
People on the radio can't see this, but I've just pointed at my mouth to basically point out, again, speechless. And I know this has become quite repetitive, but we are speaking to some amazing people. I think you're absolutely right. I think the fact that, takes a village to raise a child, and then you escalate that through to, if you're putting all the right components in place, you'll have a teenager, you'll have an adolescent, you'll have an adult, you'll have a handful of people, you'll have the village, then you'll have the community that actually is the one that is the building blocks to running a country. Outstanding.
Yeah.
And I think that if we all have that kind of sort of philosophy, we'd all be making great strides, wouldn't we?
I really do. And I tell you what, part three, let's expand on some of that.
Absolutely. You get yourself ready for some dad dancing, DJ.
Oh, well, we're going to do the technology first, but not okay. A problem for me, because I am a technological being.
Thank you for that, Desiree. That was absolutely brilliant.
Absolutely.
Oh, you're welcome.
I'm looking forward to the next part.
Yeah. Speak to you after the break. Welcome back, everybody, to the Grassroots Sport and Business Show. Me, Dave Johnson Rayner from Boys Sports, and my friend and co-host, Mr. John Woodcock from Voluntary Action Leicester, and today's guest, Desiree Jules Adam from AWEC. It's a lot easier for me to call it AWEC, Desiree. Don't get tongue-tied. So we spoke about the challenges. Now are the programme. So what does the AWEC programme, what is it? What does it do?
That's a really, really good question, Dave. So the AWEC program is, let me get this right, so I say it properly. We leverage technology and take a digital approach to teach the women the knowledge that they need to run their businesses and to make sure that it's applicable. That's important to us. It's all about applied learning. So these 200 women, once you've been accepted, we say congratulations, obviously, but they go into what we call the 12-month core program, which has five main components. Monthly live sessions, which are taught by world-class experts. So we take a topic and we break it down every month. So remember, this is a 12-month program. So we're literally going on a deep dive into your business. Women have often described the core program as something taking a magnifying glass to their business and tearing it apart, literally, because we go through the core business functions. For example, strategy, business modeling, financing, forecasting, operations, scaling up, growth, marketing, branding, you name it, it's all in there. And they go through it throughout the 12 months. Now, the monthly live sessions are taught by leadership experts, and we're very lucky to have support from generous people in both academic space and the corporate space. So people from Google, from Facebook, from Ernst & Young, PricewaterhouseCoopers, from Harvard, from Cambridge, various different places that come in to teach these women on a specific topic. The other component is assignments. So immediately after that live session, like a Zoom session that we have, they're given assignments, and the assignment is for them to take the knowledge, break it down, and apply it to their business. The third component is peer sessions. This is where we've taken the 200 women and put them into groups of 10. And for the year, they spend time with the group of 10. And it's usually women from different industries and different countries that can speak and share best practices from each of their spheres. The peer sessions allow them to speak to each other in small group settings where they break down not just the topic, but how it applies to their business and how they themselves personally can grow from learning from that topic. The fourth component is mentorship. There is absolutely nothing that you can do in life, regardless of whether you're in your personal life or your professional life, without mentors. We need mentors across the board. And this is one thing that women don't really get access to, is mentorship. We've got senior business professionals from the same companies that I mentioned. And I'll put a word out there. So organizations like Ernst & Young allow their employees, you know, time out in a month to come and do serve, you know, like voluntary work for things like that. So they've all got mentors that they can speak to on a monthly basis. And then the fifth component, unfortunately, is hindered and hampered by COVID. Every year we used to do two summits where we convene all these women in one specific country in Africa. That was an opportunity for them to now have, you know, face-to-face interactions with the people that they've been dealing with all year. It's a chance for them to meet their mentors, program advisors, the team of staff, and each other. And it's a bonding exercise, right? But of course, without, you know, obviously with COVID, we've not been able to do that. However, we've been able to transition the similar experience online by doing virtual summits. And oftentimes with that, you get more people attending because there's less issues with travel restrictions and things like that. So that was the fifth component of how the program is run. We ensure that throughout the year, we take an indication of how your business is growing, because of course it's important. Impact is important. And so it's vital that we see how you're doing. Before you come into the program, there's a survey that you need to complete about where your business is at. Yeah. Mid-program and then end of program, we then kind of interview or do a survey to find out, you know, what's changed. Mm-hmm. And oftentimes the changes are very different. It's not always, again, I'll speak to you about this in a minute, but it's not always about, you know, growth for, you know, employing more people. Sometimes it's about actually what I'm doing is wrong. Or yeah. I don't have the right team of staff. I need to let these ones go. I thought I needed capital, but I actually don't. What I need is to get my operations and my systems up and running properly. So those are the things that we get to learn about the fellows throughout the program.
Wow. Again, Mr. Woodcock, can't I really imagine? That's
right up my street. It is right up my street. I think that the breakdown of the five core components are spectacular, absolutely spectacular. I think the fact that, you know, so on the Zoom sort of bit, because it's a 12-month program, is it, do you do it every week? Is it every month? How does that break down?
Okay, so the live sessions take place the first Wednesday of every month. And that's usually... Okay. The opener to the topic. So let's just say it was business strategy for the month. And the first Wednesday of that month, you'd have someone come in and discuss that topic for an hour. And within that session, they get to speak to they get to do a Q&A, a live Q&A after the person has done their presentation. Then they kind of ask questions about business strategy. And as soon as that's done, literally after the session, they go onto the platform. We've got a platform that we use, and they know that they can access their assignment for the month. And that assignment is literally geared to the topic that they've just been talking about. So I'll give you a live example. Business strategy, usually the assignment is something called the business model canvas, which breaks down the components of a business and the areas that you need to focus on when you're talking about strategy in your business. And they have to apply those components to each part of their business.
That's outstanding,
doesn't it? Sounds really
good. It really is.
Yeah, I mean, how many years have they been going?
So their first cohort was in 2018, they actually started the business or started the organization in 2017, but brought in their first cohort of 200 in 2018. So we're in our fourth year, and as of January 17th, we will be opening up applications to our fifth year.
I mean, we have a global audience here, John, because of our support, especially in Africa.
Yeah,
that would be amazing.
So, you know, if people wanted to find out about that, because I'm assuming you have to be operating on the African continent or based on the African continent.
You do, ideally.
How do they find out more about that? Because you've done a really good job of explaining it, but of course it's always nice to recap.
Yeah, absolutely. So the best way always is the first point of call, the website. It's weareawerk.org, and I'll spell it out. So that's www.weareawerk.org. So weareawerk.org.
Oh, yeah, it's really good. I mean, I love looking through the website. I think what you see on there is quite refreshing to read website content such as that. I think that's fantastic.
Agreed.
And of course, it would be remiss of me not to mention that AWEC are actually going to be Koi Sports African Charity of the Year in 2022 for all of the reasons you've just given. So
excited. We're so excited, and we're so, to be honest, we're surprised.
Yeah.
We were so surprised by the nomination, but more than anything, we're grateful and we were happy to accept. So thank you, Dave. Thank you, Koi Sports.
It's no problem. I think it's a common misunderstanding, you know, with Koi Sports, but ultimately we have to positive social change.
Absolutely.
What AWEC does changes lives and helps people succeed and gives an aspirational pathway. Which is everything that we want to stand for in that arena. And again, united we stand, divided we fall. But I think specifically with the challenges faced around how people live on a day-to-day basis on the African continent, as opposed to in the UK, flick a switch, turn on the tap. I think it's so, so important that when we bring African businesses in as Koi Sports members, that a percentage of that comes back to AWEC. Because then hopefully that 200 can become more. And then you can create more opportunities and change more lives. And AWEC clearly do it very, very well. And what I've seen and heard, very professional organisation. So,
picking up on that, Dave.
Yeah.
Desiree, as the organisation progresses, are you looking to, you know, if capital investment into the organisation increased, for example, would that allow you to take on more than 200 applicants? Would you be looking at taking more on, say, you know, 250 or 300 or et cetera, et cetera, et cetera?
That's certainly something on the cards for our strategy, only because we recognize that the women that we have to say no to come into the program are almost left on the side. And we need to find a way to support them as well, because they're all women business owners. One thing I forgot to mention earlier is the criteria for joining the program. You've got to have been in business for at least 2 years and at least employ two people. So these are women who are already established. And the challenge we have is exactly that. We wish we could take more. And this is the hope as we move forward, because the need is great. It's huge. And then the impact at the same time, which is something I also missed out, is we it's not just about the program, but about the impact. So we ensure that business skills, we keep an eye on their business skills, and that includes things like business strategy, management, your leadership experience, and your confidence. We look at functional skills, your planning, your financial management, your human resources management, your marketing and scaling, and then soft skills. Are you effective at communicating your product or your brand? Are you able to give clear feedback to your staff? Are you able to solve problems innovatively? Can you negotiate? You know, and those are things that women, you know, it's not just about raising capital, because that is important, or employing more people, because that is important, but it's all encompassing. And we take a holistic approach to the way women run their businesses. And it's so important for them to gain those skills. I think you mentioned this earlier, John, about giving them all the tools or empowering them enough to be able to do this on their own. What is beautiful about what happens when they finish the program, these women take their knowledge and then they go and teach the women in their communities. So, you know, I thought about one of the examples I have is a woman who has a farm in Malawi. And she has like maybe 100 other agricultural farmers in the community. As soon as she finished every single session and assignment, she would take that, replicate it, and teach the women in her community. Because there's no way that we can get all those women into the program, but there's certainly a way for us to assist each fellow to help other women. And they become ambassadors for the program, and then the knowledge goes on. And so we want to be able to do this on a larger scale. But of course, like you said, it takes more funding, it takes more assistance, it makes more people getting involved.
Absolutely. I think that's brilliant. You know, it's my ethos in sort of, you know, training and development of brilliant people, is the fact that she's taken the learnings from the program and gone, right, I'm just going to go and teach. Perfect. And that's the way it should be. It's, you know, there's no, it shouldn't be a case of you know, hiding that away. I'm going to learn, it's all about me. It's sharing and imparting that experience and that knowledge to others that are thirsty for that knowledge. I think it's outstanding. I truly do.
I think, and I've seen this through looking into AWEC and speaking to Desiree, I think the whole thing about the ethos that you're talking about there is that knowledge is power thing, where, you know, it's mine, I'm going to keep it, and I know something that you don't know. It's very, very dangerous. And it stunts growth in so many areas. And the thing with the way that works is immeasurable, because as AWEC or as Koi Sports or as Voluntary Action Leicester, you will never know the amount of people that what you have delivered, you have positively impacted. Absolutely. And I think that's a good thing. Mm. It's so very important, and you probably bear me out on this, John. Where an organisation relies on funding, everything has to be measured, which stunts what you can actually do, the power that you have to impart this knowledge. And it's not healthy. I think it's important to share. So yeah. Important.
I agree. I think that, you know, it's what if you're telling a story, you don't want to tell it to one person. You want to tell it to, you know, a stadium. You want to tell it to, you know, as many different people as you can. You know, that's why, you know, for me, it's sort of like great comedians can fill the O2 Arena or Wembley or stuff like that. All right, great comedians. Others, yeah, they can fill a small theatre. You know, that's what it's all about. It's being able to impart something to others where they go, where they'll latch onto it and go, yeah, that means something to me because of. Mm. And I think that what AWEC are doing with regards to providing, it's not just the knowledge, it's not just the training, it's not. It's the experience. It's, you know, it's more than that. It's bigger than that. It goes back to what Desiree was pointing out earlier on. It's not, you know, the village growing a child. The village is growing a community. The village is growing a country. I take my hat off. I truly do. I think what you're doing is outstanding. And I think Dave would probably attest to this. We, you know, I know that you're going to be sort of the charity, African Charity of the Year for next year. But I think that, you know, we'd like to come back and have conversations with you on a relatively regular basis, just to see how things are going on.
Absolutely. Wow. Thank you. That's amazing. Thank you.
This hour of this radio show that we do goes so quickly. And it's just a shame we don't have more time.
It's been an hour already.
Yeah.
We've only just started.
Yeah, which is why I think what you're suggesting is a great idea. Yeah. Desiree Jules Adam of AWEC, www.weareawec.org. Thank you so much for coming and joining us and sharing all the information and knowledge that you have done. Thank you so much for that. John, as ever, thank you very much indeed.
Thank you very much, Desiree. David, it's been an honour and a privilege, as always, sir.
Thank you.
Thank you both. Thank you both for the opportunity.
No problem, Desiree. All the best, everybody.